Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Mary Lynn Pope, the lay leader, and we're so glad to see you here this morning. How about greeting your friends and neighbors who are sitting next to you or across from you, and pass the peace of God to each of them as you speak to them and welcome them to this church. Now let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside front page of your bulletin. Several items that I would like to call to your attention. First of all, today at 4 o'clock in the Trinity classroom, the Administrative Council will be meeting, and we promise not to keep you really late because we also want you to be able to make arrangements to go to the Lessons in Carols, the musical scriptural presentation at First Baptist Church this afternoon and evening. The choirs from First Baptist, from Main Street, from First Presbyterian, and other groups will be performing this evening in a beautiful service at First Baptist. So try to put that on your calendar so you can be present to attend. On the 18th, the Coach Dula class will go caroling again like they so frequently do every year. So come and get the Christmas spirit if you haven't gotten it yet, and join the class to go caroling to our shut-ins, and they will be going to a local restaurant afterwards for some supper. On the 20th, on Tuesday, from 11 to 2, there will be a staff drop-in at the church. This is the staff's way to say thank you and give their appreciation to the congregation. So drop by, have a little punch, and wish Merry Christmas to our staff. A very important service that we have at Main Street that is appreciated by many in the community is our Light and Darkness service. That will be held on the 21st at 6:30. It is a healing service, and we urge you to come and bring your friends and neighbors. It has become a tradition that is welcomed and really appreciated by members of our community. So reach out to a neighbor and bring them to this very moving and beautiful service. And finally, our musical family will be having a gathering meal as well as entertaining us. All the musical ensembles in the church will be performing, and we'd like you to come and have a little Christmas, eat a good meal, because those choir folks always manage to put on a good spread, and enjoy the musical talents that are so rich, we are so richly blessed with in this congregation. Now, please continue to prepare your hearts and minds for the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ on this beautiful Advent Sunday as the acolytes enter the church with the light of Christ.
Thank you.
Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? Sing praises to the Lord who has done gloriously. Let God's deeds be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. As the earth brings forth its shoots, and as what is sown springs up in a garden, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. We will greatly rejoice in the Lord. We will praise God with our whole being.
In this beautiful sanctuary, so beautifully adorned to worship God this day, let us join together in praying our prayer of invocation. God of peace, when your Son, Jesus Christ, was born of Mary, tyrants ruled and the people were afraid. But you love justice. You bring your peace in the midst of great trouble and strife. Free us from fear. Bring us to your joy. Hear our prayers and accept our thanksgiving. Make us ready for the coming of Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Thank you.
On the third Sunday of Advent, we light three candles. The first signifies that our hope grows stronger. With the second candle, we remember our longing for God to be with us and to give us peace. Today we light a third candle for joy. We remember in this time of shadows those whose tears still water the ground with sadness, and we pray that God will bring all people home with shouts of joy. Come, Lord Jesus, in your light we will trust and find peace. In God's promised new heaven and new earth, the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Revelations chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. Come, Lord Jesus, in your light we will trust and find peace.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. You may follow along in the Pew Bible on page 846 in the Old Testament section. Listen now for a reading from God's Word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson for today is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. All of those who are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He says, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Please add to your prayer list Beth Lumley, Lynn Sherrod's mother. Beth has been in the hospital this week and is now home recouping, and ask for your prayer. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, in the stillness of this moment, during this season we are reminded of the stillness of that night when you came into our world. And the beauty of this place, this day, we give praise to your holy name and pray for those who have not heard and those who do not believe that Christ came as a child in the little town of Bethlehem. We pray, dear God, for us as a church, that not only would we hold these faiths true and dear to our hearts, but we would lovingly embrace those whose souls are cold, whose spirits have not responded to the God of love, to the God who cares, and the God who hears. We thank you again, Almighty God, for each one here, for their homes, for their loved ones, for their families. We pray for those of our church family who during these days will be traveling, and for our young people who maybe are in the midst of finals, reports that are due, and the stresses. For we do realize that there are stresses that come into this season that robs us many times. Help us, O God, to truly enjoy these days and to embrace what they mean to us in the refreshing way that you come during this season. We pray for those of our church family who are sick, those who have special needs, for those who are recouping from surgeries, and those who are in the process of getting ready for surgeries even this week. We pray for healing, your presence to guide the skilled hands of the physicians, to quicken them with proper prescription for medications, that healing and health would be restored. Again, we pray for those away from home, giving of their lives for that which is important, those serving in military, those serving in Peace Corps, those serving as missionaries, wherever. God be with them. And help us to continue to be a place of peace and love. And not only during Christmas, but we would continue to be reminded of the call that you have given to us. And so, dear God, we rest in you, and we pray for the peace that we proclaim to touch those in leadership within the church and within our civil government, praying as you taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offering. Gushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, we return to you that which is yours, a token of that which we have received, for all that we have and all that we are is yours, or to give glory to your holy name. Bless these gifts, Almighty God. Let them be for the furtherance of the gospel of the Christ, the news of the babe of Bethlehem, to those who have never heard. To you we give glory, honor, and praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Thank you. do this one.
This one I know
it's
works.
On. It's on. It's on.
Okay. Hi.
Have you ever been outside in the bright sunshine and found something that was reflective? You know what I'm talking about? That you can put it up in the sun and then it'll show, throw light all around? Okay. Want to help me out? I want you to point that right at me. Okay. See how the light hits me? And then it just, I just absorb the light and it becomes part of me, right? But it's just mine. I just keep it. It's my light. Okay? But if I put a mirror up, can you hit it? In front, look, the light then comes back on you, right? All of a sudden, you're a part of the light. The light is reflecting on you. But there are a couple of things I have to remember about this. If I'm going to reflect light on you, I have to keep the mirror, my mirror, pointed toward the light. Because if I turn it away from the light, what happens? You don't get any reflection anymore, do you? No, it goes away from you. And if something comes in between the light and the mirror, stops it, right? The light can't reflect on the mirror anymore at all. So we have to keep the mirror faced toward the light. We can't let anything come in between. The Bible says that we need to project the light of Jesus. And you know what the light of Jesus is? It's taking Jesus into our hearts and our souls and the love of Jesus. And to reflect it means that we give it out to other people. Now, the thing we have to remember, it's like this mirror. If we don't look toward Jesus, if we don't stay facing the love of Jesus, then we can't reflect him anymore, right? And if we let anything come between us and the love of Jesus, then we can't reflect it either, because we're not a mirror anymore. So we have to stay facing Jesus and all never let anything come in between us and the love of Jesus so that we can reflect his love. I brought you guys something for you to work on this week, this little project. Okay, can you take one and hand them out? There you go. This is a little candle, and what I want you to do, I want you to be really, really creative, okay? And if you can find, maybe mom and dad can help, or if you go into extended session, maybe they'll have some crafts and things in there. See if you can find some things that would be like glitter or sequins or things that would just pick up the light and be really, really shiny. And then you design your candle to be as shiny as it can possibly be. And then see if your mom or dad will let you put it in your window in your room just to remind you that you need to be the light. All the time. You need to stay facing Jesus and you need to give his light out to others all the time. And that'll just be like a little reminder to you. Okay? Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we want to reflect your light in the world. Help us to keep our faces turned toward you. And help us to keep anything from coming between us. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You may be seated. In a homiletic magazine dated December the 15th, 2002, there's this very interesting story. Back in 1994, two Americans were invited by the Russian Department of Education to teach. To teach morals and ethics in their prisons, at their businesses, in their fire and police departments, and even at large orphanages. They were also told that they could teach from the perspective of their faith. So they went. As witnesses to the light, like John the Baptist, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. John 1:7. They believed that Jesus, the true light that enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The experience of these two in the Russian orphanage proved to be particularly illuminating. And according to one of them, whose name was, get a handle on this, Will Fish, said it was the name of a real person, but perhaps it was a pseudonym for an anonymous Christian who was willing to fish for people. There were about 100 boys and girls in the orphanage, children who had been abandoned, abused, and left in the care of a government-run program. Fish tells the following story of what happened when the holiday season approached and it was time for the orphans to hear for the first time the traditional story of Christmas. Will says, we told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem, says Fish, finding no room in the inn. The couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. And throughout the story, he says, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some even sat on the edge of their stools trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, he said, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from a yellow napkin that I had brought with me. No colored paper was available in the city. So following the instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid strips in the manger for straw. Small squares of flannel cut from a worn-out nightgown an American lady was throwing away as she left Russia were used for the baby's blanket. A doll-like baby was cut from the tan felt that we had brought from the United States. The orphans were busy assembling their mangers as I walked among them to see if they needed any help. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat, and he was about 6 years old. and he had finished the project. And as I looked at the little boy's manger, I was startled to see not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, I called for the translator to ask the lad why there were two babies in the manger. And crossing his arms in front of him and looking at his completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very seriously. For such a young boy who had heard the Christmas story only once, he related the happenings accurately until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad-lib. He made up his own ending to the story, as he said, "And when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him, 'I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have a place to stay.' Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I don't have a gift to give him like everybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, 'If I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift?' And Jesus told me, 'If you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me.' So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him for always." As little Misha finished his story, his eyes filled with tears. The little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him. Someone who would stay with him always. We call Jesus by the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And in this season, this Advent season, we discover, like the orphan Misha, that God who came in Jesus Christ will never abandon or abuse us, but will stay with us for always. Jesus promises to be with us when the cancer biopsy comes back positive instead of negative, when the final exam is marked with an F rather than an A, when the spouse of 15 years stomps out the door and doesn't return, when the dream of success in business is once again downsized and diminished, when the late night long distance call communicates a death, not a birth, when the longing for family harmony is shattered by a shouting match, when a desire for companionship is drained by another lonely holiday season. Advent. Advent is a time when we retell the story of Jesus' birth. For those of us who are theologians, we refer to the continuous miracles found throughout Scripture as a part of salvation history. Lay people refer to this time of the season and the miracles that take place as Christmas miracles. This is a time, as we have already alluded to this morning, when we longingly with hope look forward to the day when our Lord will return. We are called to renew ourselves, to renew our baptism, to reaffirm our profession of faith. During this time, I find myself asking, who am I? Is my Christian witness what it should be? How do I go about telling others of this Christ? Am I experiencing what this Christmas Advent is truly about? This morning we have read about John the Baptist. What a colorful character. This is all we know about his ministry. We don't even know when John the Baptist started his ministry. We don't know how long he journeyed out in the wilderness. As I think about his humility and the perception of who he was, of how it is profoundly recorded in Scripture what he proclaimed, and how that during this time, as I alluded to last Sunday, the Jews were anxiously anticipating somebody to come, anybody come and help us in this dilemma that we're in. And the Jews were ready to affirm him as the light, the long-awaited one, the Messiah. He was baptizing Jews. That was almost unheard of, because it was Gentiles that were baptized who were becoming Jews, not Jews who were being baptized by other Jews. There was something weird going on. And so the question comes to John, who are you? For me, the question comes in this season when, as I go about my journeys through the community, I'm keenly aware that the world is looking for something. I get excited during the Christmas season, and I love to ride with Linda out through the countryside and see these homes that during the day look so plain, and yet during the evening are a wonderland of lights and excitement. As the world is looking for something, I ask the question of myself again, who am I? What is the life and the message that I proclaim? And so I ask you, Main Street United Methodist Church, who are you? What is the message that we proclaim? And so together I'll ask you, who are we? Just the other evening, I had supper with a ministerial couple. We were enjoying our meal together, and she began to tell me about her work during the day. I spent the entire day baking, she said. She was baking her special lemon drop cookies that were the rage of her children and grandchildren. And then came this look on her face. I don't know what went wrong. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what I left out. But the entire batch had to go in the trash can. And her husband nodded affirmingly and says, maybe the reality is that you don't cook at all anymore. She did say in a renewing way that she had placed a batch of uncooked dough in the refrigerator, and just maybe it would turn out better. As I thought about those lemon drop cookies, and as I think again of John and of myself and of you, I ask, what are the ingredients that made John an effective preparer for the way of Christ? And this morning, I don't anticipate that I am touching on all of the ingredients. Because for you, there may be other ingredients. But one ingredient that I see is that he was humble. He admitted, I am not the light. But I came to bear witness to the light. In preparation for this sermon, I kicked back for a few moments and reflected over the ministers that I remembered with me in seminary. I thought about those various attitudes that they possessed. Oh, some thought just maybe that they very possibly could be the second coming of Billy Graham. Some thought that they were exactly the leadership that the church needed. Some were full of potential. Some were so full of what the church does need, and they had the ability to be a tremendous blessing in the church and the kingdom of God. I can't say for all of them, but some, their ministry is a tragedy. It is so sad that they are no longer in the ministry. Humility is not just false modesty, but it is an affirmation of what God is calling us to be, and the acknowledgement that we need God and God's Spirit in our lives and in our churches to even remotely begin to be what God is calling us to be. Each one of us, every one of us has been endowed with gifts. And these are valuable to the kingdom of God, and they're valuable to Main Street. Some of you have received acknowledgments of your leadership ability throughout your life. You are a part of the history of this church and in this community. Some of you are in the paper here in Greenwood regularly. The light begins to dim when we think too highly of ourselves. When we think that we are the Messiah, the Savior. We have lost good, effective ministers because they thought of themselves and their wants above the needs of the churches. And we all have to embrace that we have limitations and we have boundaries that need to be embraced and maintained in our lives. John was also a person of strength, and Jesus said to him, "There is no one born of woman any greater than John the Baptist." Matthew 11:11. John was not weak. He was not blown around like some weather vane. He was dramatically fulfilling his task by proclaiming the way for Christ. And as a church, we are humans. And the mission of the church will only be fulfilled with people who will to be what God calls them to be. Too many times, people are going to where they think the perfect church is. And it's my understanding that one of our largest churches in this very town, that there are as many people going out the back door as they are going in the front door. You are a part of a church that has a fantastic history in this community. What is its future? Who are you? What is your mission? Like John, we cannot be ashamed of the message that we proclaim. I was in a business place this week, and there was a young lady behind the counter, and I looked at her and I said, "Did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ makes you clean before God? Did you know that the blood of Christ makes you appear that you never in your entire life did anything wrong?" And she looked at me and rather startled disbelief. I am not the Savior. I am not the expected Messiah. You and I are called to bear witness to the light that Christ came into the world to save sinners. What is God calling Main Street to do today? In the Old Testament, Israel was called to build up the ancient ruins. And we are certainly called to minister to the marginalized in order to share the good news of Jesus, the expected one, the babe of Bethlehem. Who am I? Who are you? And who are we in this Advent season? As we share our closing hymn, as has been often called, the hymn of invitation, number 218, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," I invite you again, sometimes I fail to mention this, to come and to kneel at the altar, to reaffirm your faith if you wish, to come and kneel and pray. And during this hymn of invitation, the altar is open, number 218. Let's stand together. Receive now the benediction. May the one born in Bethlehem, who joined nativity and humanity, love of God and labor for people, unite heaven and earth in us as in him. Amen.